This morning, you have a Bible? I'm asking you to close it. Hold it right there on your lap. We're having a test. If you have a pen and a paper, take it out. If you don't, then you can do your best to just do this by memory. But we're having a test this morning. And we're going to start simple. Simple test. We're going to tax your memory just a little bit. This is not a heavy mental exercise, just a little bit. Simple questions. We've got to keep the mental machinery active and moving up here, right? All right, so here's the simple test. We begin with this. I want you to name 10 kinds of automobiles. Any 10. Name them by brand, you know, Ford, Chevy, Plymouth, Dodge, Mercury. See, I'm a big help, right? I mean, you can do that. Just 10. Just 10 kinds. Studebaker, Hudson, DeSoto. Huh? Show my age, huh? Packard, that's right. Tucker. A Lafayette, that's right. JB remembers them all because he used to work on them. Edsel. That was the best ever made. That's all right, I'm sure everybody can come up with 10 automobiles. Now I want you to name 10 movie stars. Any movie stars, living or dead, you can do it. I'm confident. Living or dead, male or female, you can do that. No problem, right? There's a method to this now. I'm going somewhere. You can name them. Errol Flynn and who are the famous ones? Humphrey Bogart and Gregory Peck. And I never heard of that one, but look, you know who they are. Jimmy Cagney. Now I want you to name 10 beverages. Soft drinks. You can name them. Pepsi, Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Mountain Dew, whatever. You know, you can name 10, right? 10. Think, because the clock's ticking now. It's a da na 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 na. You can think. 10. Sprite, A&W, Barks, Knee High, RC Cola. You can think. You can name 10. Right? All right, here's the next one. 10 famous bands or musicians. Famous band, living or dead, you can do it. Come on, Elvis, the Beatles, or whatever. You can name 10 famous bands, the Righteous Brothers. I'm helping you out a little bit. You can name 10. I know you can. Think. Come on, it's your memory's not that poor. I'm helping you out. I'm giving you hints. He's a helpful hint. Everybody got their 10? The next one. You ready? Now I want you to name the 10 commandments. In order, if you can. But if not, at least try and name them. Write them down. I want you to write them down. Or if you can name them, look, you can do it this way. Thou shalt not. You can come up with 10. Now, there's only 10. The 10 commandments. In order? That would be nice if you could get in order, but it's not necessary to have them in order, but name them as many of them as you possibly can. Isn't it interesting what we remember and what we don't? Y'all working on it? It's easy to remember cold drinks and automobiles and movie stars and sports heroes or musicians or whatever it is we name. But here it is, the capstone of Judaism and Christianity. the foundation, really, on which American civilization was built, and people have trouble remembering the Ten Commandments. This is supposed to be the summation of all that God requires from each and every one of us, the keynote of our faith. How many you got? Y'all working? Okay. Y'all getting there? If you're having trouble coming up with all ten, I just want you to know that you're really not alone. Recently, this was just last year. Last year, a group of 25 senators sponsored a bill. 25 American senators sponsored a bill. And according to this bill, they were going to protect the Ten Commandment displays on our state houses. You know, for a long time, the ACLU has tried to have the displays of the Ten Commandments removed from federal buildings, state buildings, libraries, schools. They don't want those evil Ten Commandments, you know. So the ACLU has done everything to get them removed. Well, 25 senators sponsored a bill. The bill was to protect these Ten Commandment displays on federal property and state property so that the ACLU could not force state governments to remove them. The interesting thing was that after they did their public service news announcements and so forth about the bill they were sponsoring, they asked those senators if they could name the Ten Commandments. And only one of them could. Now, I'll tell you what. We're Christians, and we're Americans, and we don't like it when people, whether it's the ACLU or whoever they are, tell us what we can do and what we can't do. That's just something that gets riled up inside of us. We know how important Christianity is in our own families and in our nation. And it makes your blood boil, or it could if you let it, could make your blood boil when they tell us we're going to take these displays of the Ten Commandments off of your public buildings. We're going to get them out of your schools. You know what part of the problem we have in America right now is that they won't allow any aspect of religion to be taught in our schools. And so people have no respect for other people's property. They have no respect for other people's lives. Right? When I hear that they want these displays removed, well, it could upset you if you allowed it to do so. The values that were prized by our forefathers, I'm talking about values like integrity, character, honesty, you know, telling the truth, not lying, morality, virtue, all of the things, the virtues, the characteristics so highly prized by our forefathers today are denigrated. In fact, they're considered old-timey, out of touch, ridiculous, foolish, especially in the modern 21st century. What's happened here in America is that we've basically become a godless society. I don't think anybody can deny that. We're a society that has abandoned morality. It breaks your heart that you can't watch a TV program or a movie without the very first date. The first date a couple goes on, they hop in the sack. Now compare that to the old movies of the 40s, the 50s. You know, back in the old days, even virtue, morality was something prized. They didn't kiss on the first date. But today, I want you to consider this. Do you know that that's the stuff that's raising our children, our youth? This kind of morality is being instilled in them every single day. And it's repeated with every movie they watch, the music they listen to. That's the values that are instilled in our young people. What kind of a chance do they have? What kind of a chance do they have? Especially when we're forced to remove Ten Commandments. I mean, basic things. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That has to be removed. We've got to get rid of that. The songs denigrate women, modern songs. You know, women aren't treated with honor and respect. Look, when I grew up, the way I was taught, women, adults, grandparents, girls, all treated with honor and respect. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. You think we have those kind of values today? Grandparents or parents, are they respected? You think we're raising a generation that respects parents? They don't. Not only do they not respect parents, they don't respect any authority. Do they respect women? No. Treated like meat and allow themselves to be treated like meat. There's no respect for the rights of others. In fact, there's no respect for human life at all. In general, certainly there's no fear of God, not in a modern society or a modern generation. Now, I know we hear about the nasty ACLU wanting to take these Ten Commandment displays off of our buildings, and we fuss and we fume and we protest and we want to sign petitions and march to keep the Ten Commandments posted on our walls and in our public buildings. But here's the honest truth. The honest truth is this: encroaching worldliness has all but erased the Ten Commandments from our hearts anyway. And the fact is that less than 1 in 10 Americans can name more than 4 of the Ten Commandments. Now, we talk about how much we value them. In fact, a recent poll, and there have been many polls in America about their values and so forth, and many polls even about the Ten Commandments. Up to 80% of Americans think that these commandments ought to be posted on public buildings and in schools, that that should be allowed. I mean, Americans have high regards for the commandments that they don't know. It's like a classic book. You know the old classics? You know what a classic is? It's an old book that nobody reads. Well, the Ten Commandments, less than 1 in 10 can name more than 4. So if you got about 4, you're average. I saw an interview not too long ago where a congressman in one of our neighboring states had co-sponsored a bill about the Ten Commandments on public property. He was the co-sponsor, and they asked him, well, can you name the Ten Commandments? And he's on television. And he started, what you mean right now? Yeah. Can you name them? You're co-sponsoring this bill. I mean, it must be important to you. It's very important. Can you name them? He named 3. He said, no, I can't remember the rest. So, less than 10% of Americans can name more than 1, can name more than 4. And some of the things that people, in some of these polls, some of the things that people thought were commandments are not part of the Ten Commandments at all. Listen to this. 23% of Americans polled by this Poltronics poll, 23% thought the second commandment is thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, but 23% thought that was the right to bear arms. The second commandment gave them the right to bear arms. 31% said the ninth commandment. Now, the ninth commandment is thou shalt not bear false witness. But 31% said the ninth commandment was a prohibition against removing the Ten Commandment displays from public buildings. So, I also read a report not long ago. This was the most disappointing of all. It said that most Bible college students could not name the Ten Commandments. They couldn't name all 10. Most of them couldn't name all 10. Now you can open your Bible. And we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to read these Ten Commandments. And then today, how many of you would like to be able to remember all 10? How would you like to be able to remember them right off the top of your head in order? I'm going to teach you how to do that today. In order. I'll teach you how to remember all 10 in order. Exodus 20 and verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Commandment number 1, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Literally, it reads, no gods before my face. That means no God. No other God is to be worshipped in addition to Almighty God. No other God. Commandment number 2, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not make any graven image. You don't carve anything out of bone, stone, wood. You don't cast it out of metal. You don't form it out of clay. No graven image. Commandment number 2. Of anything. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Commandment number 3. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Now, you know, there's only one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. One name. Our God is a triune God, but you know the only name that we have to deal with is the name of Jesus. In that name we are saved. If you call upon that name, there's salvation. Right? In that name there is deliverance. Jesus said, in my name you'll cast out devils. In that name there is healing. Jesus said, you'll lay hands on the sick in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. The Lord will raise them up. There's healing. There's power in that name. You know what? There's life in that name. There's victory in that name. Jesus said, all that you do, do it in the name of Jesus. We baptize in that name. There's life in the name of Jesus, power in that name. And you know how the name of Jesus is mostly used today? As a cuss word. And when people utter it, it's in some slanderous way or in some way that denigrates, trashes the worthy name of Jesus Christ. They use it in a shameful way. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I want you to notice what he says in the latter part of verse 7. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. It's pretty sober, huh? The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. So there's a Sabbath, which the word literally means rest. And there's a tremendous eternal principle in every one of these commandments. This one, you know, Israel was a nation of slaves. Now, I would imagine that we realize that the Egyptians didn't treat their slaves with the respect that, you know, you would give to human beings and say, well, you know what, you guys deserve the weekend off. I mean, you work hard. Don't think for a moment that it was like that. The life of a slave was menial. They were driven until they died. They didn't know what it was like to have time off. They were slaves to their Egyptian taskmasters, and the Egyptians were cruel taskmasters. Now here we are in the 21st century, we've become slaves to our own debts, to our own wants and greed, and so we push ourselves, so we have to work 7 days a week just to make ends meet. We've enslaved ourselves, and look, debt is a harsh taskmaster. It ought to be something that we enter into with great fear and trembling, because it's cruel. Debt is cruel. It'll rob you of your life and your time and force you to work round the clock and steal your family and steal your health. It ain't worth it. Well, the fifth commandment is verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. How many of you believe that's still important? Honor your parents. Honor those who are in authority. You know, if we'll learn at home to honor our parents, that'll be translated into honoring and respecting your teacher. And that'll be translated into respecting other authority figures and honoring them. And I know our school teachers here would like to see children who honored and respected authority, who weren't sassy and disrespectful and defiant and rebellious. Respect for authority has to begin at home. And you know what? If you can respect mom and dad, you learn also how to honor and fear God. Or you raise a generation that has no respect for anybody. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Jesus expanded that one to include hatred. If you hate your brother, he says, you're guilty of murder. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know, murderer. A murderer has no life in him. So we have to guard not only our deeds, but our thoughts and our hearts so that we don't injure, maim, cripple, and kill. He says, the seventh commandment, verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Maybe we need that one emphasized in our culture and society. Number 8, thou shalt not steal. That includes any kind of stealing, thievery, robbery, pilfering, shoplifting. Thou shalt not steal. This teaches respect for other people's property and their right to own property. You know, the Ten Commandments have been called really the bedrock and foundation of all civilized society, because it teaches the principles of everything from the right of others to own property. You know, thou shalt not steal. Whatever they have, that's theirs. You respect it. You don't cross their property lines without permission. You don't take what doesn't belong to you. You think our generation needs to learn those things? Not just, it's not yours just because you want it. We don't steal. What we acquire and own, we should buy, we should purchase. And in order to buy it and purchase it, we have to earn the money to get it. And it has to be earned, and that means it teaches us the value of work and the value of money. I mean, if you think about it, there's so much more in the Ten Commandments that most people realize. But our forefathers knew that just the installation of these powerful, eternal laws and principles, if people actually lived them, you would have a civilized society. Imagine a society that has no such morality or ethics, where there is no such thing as honesty, integrity, telling the truth, character, respect for human life, respect for others' properties. What would we have without it? I tell you what we'd have. We'd have 21st century America, which is fading fast. Thou shalt not commit adultery, verse 15, the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That means to malign them, to slander their name, their character, to do injury to their reputation. You don't make false accusations against people. You know, we could learn something about this too, because sometimes
we presume that we know what people are thinking or what their motives were. And we'll say, yeah, well, they did that, and they meant to do it that way. They meant to hurt me when they said that. Well, you know what? You are not sovereign. So that means you don't know what they meant to do. You think you know. Hello. You think you know. But do you realize that by saying they did that on purpose, do you realize that if they didn't do it on purpose, you are slandering them, you are bearing false witness, you are injuring their character, and you are presuming to be God. You are presuming to be all-knowing. We have to guard what we say and the accusations we make and the charges that we level against others. I mean, it'd be different if you said, well, they hurt me. Whether they meant to do it on purpose or not, they hurt me. That's one thing to say that. But it's another thing to say, well, they hurt me and they did it on purpose. Now, thou art God, because thou knowest all things. Y'all awake? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Verse 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. You don't covet what belongs to others, whatever it is. One fellow said, that's what makes the American machinery run, coveting everything else that everybody else has. That's the American way. We covet, we lust after, we want what they got. That's what keeps our economy going. Actually, covetousness is a sin. And so we learn here principles of contentment with what we have. We can always trust God for more, but we're to be content with what we have. Be happy right where you are. Thankful for what you have right now, and you can always trust God for better or newer or another if you need another. But this means you don't look at your neighbor's husband and say, you know, I wish my husband was like that. Or I wish I had him or her. Or look how hot she looks or he looks or whatever. And look, this is a society that's sensual. I mean, we're bombarded with sensual images all the time. We have to guard our hearts continually against the attacks of coveting and lust and so on. So there's the Ten Commandments. How many of you got all ten in your test? All right. Praise God. We won't ask about the rest of us. But how would you like to remember, be able to remember all ten in order? Be pretty good if you could, huh? I'm going to help you do that this morning. All you have to do is remember a few little word rhymes. See, I'm good at this. I used to have to memorize all kind of stuff, and I'd make up rhymes so I could remember. That helped me memorize the books of the Bible and other little Greek tenses and all this stuff. I still remember the tenses. I just don't know what they were for. But the rhymes, you know, it's something, the things that we retain, the things that will stay with us. So I've got some little helpful hints that I really think will help you to remember the Ten Commandments. If this is so important, and it is important, isn't it? Then we ought to be able to remember it. I think it's embarrassing that we can remember everything else, but what is the foundation and bedrock of Judaism and Christianity, what summarizes all of the commandments, we can't even remember what they are. And we should be able to. Amen. And you can. You can remember what they are. So here's how you're going to remember. Ten Commandments. Number one. This is how you remember. One, God is one. There is no other. God is one. Right? One. Commandment number one. One, God is one. The Shema is, the Lord thy God is one God. Right? God is one, there is no other. The first commandment is, there is no other gods before me. No other gods before me.
If you just remember that, one, God is one, there is no other. If it'll help you picture a big number one, first place, blue ribbon, first place on it, God is one. There is no other. No other. So that's the key word that you remember there. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's commandment number one. Number two, taboo. Because what is taboo in the eyes of God? Any kind of idolatry. Any kind of idolatry. He specifically says, in fact, in no uncertain language, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or in earth beneath or that's in the water under the earth. You don't bow down yourself to them. You don't serve them. I'm a jealous God. How would you like it if your wife had pictures of her former boyfriends on the fireplace, in the bedroom? How would you like that? You know, I really wish you'd take old George down off the mantle and Fred off the fireplace and Henry off the wall over here. I mean, you say you love me, but, I mean, their pictures are everywhere. You'd have to worry about her loyalty, right? Well, how about this? We say we love the Lord, our God. We love Him, we serve Him, we honor Him, but we have all these statues and images all around the house, which God specifically forbids in the Bible. Doesn't matter what some religions do, God forbids this. He forbids the images, the idols, the gravings, the carvings, the pictures, the whole thing. It's no accident that there is no description of Jesus anywhere in the Bible. No description of what He looked like. We don't know how tall He was. We don't know how much He weighed. We don't know whether His hair was straight or curly. We know He was a Jew. So we can picture in our mind, perhaps, you know, dark skin, big nose, whatever. But here's the thing. No description of Christ anywhere in the Bible, 66 books in the Bible, no description of Christ. You think there's a reason for that? There is a reason, because God knows we are inherently idolatrous. If we knew any idea what He'd look like, we'd make pictures, we'd make images, we'd make carvings, and it never fails. If you make those things, you're going to attach a certain reverence to those things. You're going to venerate those pictures, those images, or whatever. And that's idolatry. The heart of Christian worship is spiritual worship. Jesus said that we would worship Him in spirit and in truth. Any picture, depiction, carving, engraving actually damages that. And God is jealous. He tells us very plainly, He's jealous. He doesn't want those things around our house. We're to worship Him in our heart and not to try and imagine some picture, depiction, or whatever of God. Two, taboo. What's taboo? Images, idols. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Number one, God is one, there is no other. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Two, taboo. What's taboo? Images, idols. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Three, vanity. Three, vanity. You see, we can remember these things. They're simple word associations, rhyme. Three, vanity. What is vain? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So it's the only commandment prohibiting us taking the name of the Lord in vain. So three, vanity. You can remember that what we're not to take in vain, what we're is the name of the Lord. So that's the third commandment. Hello? Y'all running with me? That's pretty simple so far, right? Four, church door. That's what you should enter in on the Sabbath. Or in Christianity, you know, we don't observe the Jewish Sabbath, but we do believe that one day a week should be set aside to honor the Lord and worship the Lord. And it'll help you to picture on number four, church door. That's what every one of us should enter through every Sunday morning, the church door. remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. That's the fourth commandment. Y'all still with me? Four, church door. Five, alive. The fifth commandment is the only commandment of the ten that has a promise of long life attached to it. The fifth commandment is in verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. How about that? That your days may be long. So to live long is stay alive, keep commandment number five. Commandment number five is honor your father and your mother. And Ephesians chapter 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord in everything, for this is right. The Bible says that they would live long if they would honor their mother and their father, that it might be well with thee and that you may live long on the earth. So five, alive. Five, alive. Live long. How do you live long? You obey your father and your mother. That's the fifth commandment. Five, alive. 6 feet under. 6 feet under. That's how you remember number six. 6 feet under. You see, if you put somebody 6 feet under, it's because they did. Right? And the sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill. So you don't put anybody 6 feet under. Five alive, 6 feet under, thou shalt not kill. 7 year itch. 7 year itch. Any of y'all remember the old movie Marilyn Monroe and 7 year itch? Well, you know, let me tell you, even people who work with married couples and so forth say that around the seventh year, something happens after the seventh year. They actually had a poll that back in the late 80s and the early 90s, the average marriage only lasted 7 years. And after 7 years, they developed this itch. It was an itch. They developed a wandering eye and a roaming heart, and they began to play musical beds. And the seventh commandment is, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So it's real easy to remember these things. Five alive, 6 feet under, 7 year itch. Seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. Y'all with me so far? What's four? Church door. Remember the Sabbath. What's three? Vanity. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What's two? What's taboo? Images. Any kind of idolatry. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. What's number one? God is one. There is no other. Thou shalt have no other God before me. What is six? 6 feet under. Thou shalt not kill. Seven, year itch. Eight, go straight. Eight, go straight. All right, now here's the picture in your mind. Humphrey Bogart. He's the ex-con. He's standing in front of the warden's desk. And the warden is writing out his discharge papers. These old black and white movies, okay? The warden is saying, now, Charlie, you've been here for 10 years. No more stealing, no more robbery. Go straight. The eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Eight, go straight. No stealing. No more robbery. Eight, go straight. Seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. 7 year itch. 6 feet under. Thou shalt not kill. Y'all with me so far? Nine, malign. Nine, malign. You know what the word malign means? To slander. To unjustly accuse. To render false accusations. And what is the ninth commandment? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Nine, malign. Now look, took me all week to come up with these things, so I'm hoping this is helping somebody. Nine, malign. And number 10.
10, you just got to think of what the world calls a perfect 10.
We tend to judge a lot of things on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being the least, you know. How would you rate that car that you looked at the auto show? Oh, it was a 1. A 1, it was a piece of junk. It was a 5, it was okay. But if it was a 10, man, it was a 10. That's Zazazoom. A 10. And people talk about other people that way. Yeah, she's a 10. Remember they had the movie out years ago about the 10, the woman who was a 10? Now, here's the thing. What is a 10? People tend to admire. They like a 10. They admire a 10, but you got to watch it. Because what you admire, you could lust after. You could covet. And the 10th commandment is, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thy neighbor's wife, thy neighbor's goods, or anything that belongs to your neighbor, thou shalt not covet. So 10, think of that perfect 10. Be careful. Don't covet. Don't lust. Don't covet. Now, I would think that after 15 minutes, you went through this little list, you made these little word associations, you ought to be able to remember all 10. And you ought to be able to remember them in order. And so the next time we have a test, or when you're sharing with somebody about your faith, or you hear about somebody saying demeaning, degrading things about the Bible, the Ten Commandments, or whatever, and they say, yeah, you probably don't know what the Ten Commandments are. I know. I know what they are. I know what they are in order. Yes, sir.
That's a formula to learn.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where's the formula to live
on? Well, that's the next part. That's next week's message. You see, memorizing them, well, now we know what they are. Of course, we knew what they were before. It's just a matter of retaining them in your mind and memory. And all of these are as associations to help you retain, right?
Amen.
But when we walk out of the doors, we're called upon to live our Christianity.
Right.
And perhaps the saddest thing of all is that so much of what Christians profess is never translated into actions outside the church doors. So that we can hear and we can amen and we can agree in church. It's easy to be a Christian in church. It's easy to say, you know what, that's true. We need to worship God, keep Him first in our hearts. We need to crucify our flesh. I need to bite my tongue and shut my mouth and overcome and love one another. And amen! It's easy to say it in church. But then we have to walk out those doors and you got to live that. You have to live it in your home, in your family, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in traffic. You have to live it when you're around others, and you have to live it when you're by yourself. Because, you know, even when you're by yourself, you got to live a Christian life. You can't think, well, nobody sees now. Somebody sees. And it's like the old saying, character is what you are when nobody's watching. Translating it into a lifestyle, that's living our Christianity. And it's important that we do that. All right, we're going to go over this list. I realize this is a little different kind of message today, but that's okay. That's okay. Because you know what? I think it's important that we retain these things, that we don't just hear it and forget about it. So whatever we hear, if it helps us to retain it, it stays with us, then it's helpful, it's beneficial. And I really believe this, for the rest of your life, If you'll take 15 minutes and go through this list, you'll never, ever forget it. You never will. And for the rest of your life, you'll be able to peel off the Ten Commandments. Isn't it something? Children can learn it. They learn it quick. But the older you get, it's like these old heads. Number one, God is one. There is no other. First commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods. We're to worship none other. Number two, taboo. What's taboo? Idols, images. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Not any image of anything. No images of God of any kind. Number three, vanity. What's vain? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, the Bible says. That's the third commandment. God won't hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Number four, church door. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Number five, alive. What's the one commandment with a promise? The fifth commandment. If you honor your mother and father, it'll be well with thee. You'll live long on the earth. So the fifth commandment, stay alive. Live long, honor your mother and father. Six feet under. That's right. 6 feet under. You put somebody 6 feet under, that means they're dead. You don't put anybody 6 feet under, thou shalt not kill. 7-year itch. 7-year itch. Y'all awake out here? 7-year itch. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's right. 8. Go straight. Thou shalt not steal. No more being a crook, a robber, a thief. Thou shalt not steal. Number 9. Malign. What does it mean to malign? Slander, false witness, false accusation. Hurt somebody's, injure somebody's name or character. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And number 10. Perfect 10. Thou shalt not covet. What's a 10? You think about a 10, you know, you admire it. Don't lust. Don't covet. Thou shalt not covet. So there you have it. I pray that now all we got to do is live it. Memorizing it, that's the easy part. Living it, that's where the rubber meets the road. Praise God. We're going to pray. Father, bless the word to our hearts this morning, I ask. Lord, help us to employ what we learn in our lives, in our futures. Lord, help us to be men and women of the word. Help us, Lord, to desire to know your word, to hide that word deep in our hearts where it'll bring forth fruit in our lives. Lord, this is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 This morning, before we